No, I'm not ready for this. None of us are ready for this. Come on, we're tired. We have horse show hangover. None of us are really ready for this. None of us are ready for this. We're not ready for this.
We got fucking Handel's ice cream coming.
Yeah, right, let's get it done.
Put yourself in a better place.
If that Handel's ice cream, take one.
If that happens, that's going to be cool.
What do you mean if that happens?
Well, it's not here yet. I'm just saying.
Really? You think my wife's going to let you down?
No, I don't.
She would let me down. Yeah. She's not letting you down or him down.
Yeah, don't you worry. She got us some ice cream, okay, Joe? Yeah.
She said how much. I said a couple of quarts, and then she's like, how many people are there?
Yeah, she would like let me know.
Seven. Okay.
We got to say something.
Yeah, you got to say, what do you gotta show, say? Take 63, huh? Action.
The what?
Yeah, yeah. Show episode 63?
Yeah. Episode 63. Boom.
Huh? Jared LeClaire, then boom.
Okay.
No.
Oh. You say it
episode
first.
Episode 63, Jared LeClaire, Run for a Million qualifier.
Nice.
You did it.
Dude, I got it, finally. Yeah. That was sweet.
All right, we're back. Episode 63, as Joe alluded to. We got Gunny Matheson, Joe Schmidt, and Run for a Million qualifier, Jared LeClaire.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, congratulations, man.
Oh,
thanks.
Thank you.
Very cool.
A little golf clap.
Yeah, very good.
Very exciting.
Very good. So we're going
to... I mean, so exciting you had to do it twice. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was... so we'll talk about that. So I guess that's the topic of the show tonight. Run for a Million qualifier. And...
She's there. She sent me a photo of the store.
Nice.
Wow.
That's the other awesome topic of the night.
Yeah. Topic of the night. We were waiting on ice cream delivery from Mandy. Yeah. So.
It's not
kind of excited about that.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Back to Jared and the qualifier. Yeah. Sorry about that.
So, well, let's talk about the qualifier in general. There was 92 horses, and I was...
Was it smaller this year?
No, it was bigger, and I actually was a little bit surprised it was bigger because last year the scores were super high.
Last year it was so tough.
Yeah, last year the scores were super high. I don't think last year was any tougher than this year. I think it was just the scores were a little bit higher. And I would say that...
They were a little tighter on the scoring this year, but there was also one maneuver. The left lead stop, I think, consistently gave people trouble, except for few horses. Except for Dwayne, Francesco Martinotti, and Sean Florida.
Yeah, most of the horses that made it back.
Most of the horses that qualified did not have trouble there.
Yeah. We talked about that before. I don't think it was a ground issue personally. I think it was, you know, we're there for a week or 10 days. I think there was some fatigue issues. I think, you know, on a show like that, I mean, you got to be in the top 10. You got to be right. So you got to get them. You try to get them, make sure they're ready when you horse show them. I mean, because we saw, like, Dwayne's horse went 1-1-1 stopping.
Yeah.
So to me, that's not really a ground issue. I feel like the ground outside was really fast. So anybody that maybe ran and stopped a lot outside before they came in, their horses just weren't ready for that ground because it wasn't quite as fast inside. But at any rate, going back to what we were saying before, I thought there would be less horses because I know guys that have gone before that didn't go this year. So I thought, you know, there's several guys that have been contenders and have been even in the million that didn't even go try to qualify. Yeah. So I thought it for sure it would be smaller. And I don't know where the new people... I don't really know who the new people were. Do you, Jared?
Yeah. I knew a couple of them, but...
You mean the new people that qualified? Or
no, the new people that showed up to show. Uh-huh. Do you think some people are just... You know, I know there was some people. It was kind of odd because there was some people when you looked at the draw that were in the... They entered the level one derby... The level one and the level two, and then they're running the Run for a Million qualifier. You know, it's kind of an odd combination because the qualifier is going to be harder than anything that you do there, any class that you do. So I don't know. It was great that it was big. I mean, we want to make sure it doesn't shrink. But I think there's people. I think it's a bit of a novelty now too. I think there's some people that they want to enter. Their customers want to enter. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. You know, there's cameras. There's announcers. It's kind of fun to go. If you're a client, it's kind of fun to go horse show there. You know, send your horse and have your guys show them and have Taylor and Casey and Andrea and Steve Ross and whoever was doing the announcing. I think that's kind of fun mm-hmm. for some owners. So I think that part was good. But I think overall the raining was, I don't think it was weaker than last year. I think the judges, and I've said it to you guys, I think that was as good a judge raining as I've been to in a long time.
Yeah.
From top to bottom, you could sit in the stands, and Gunny, you and I were standing together for quite a bit of it. You could sit there and go, yep, nope, because it wasn't a matter of even score towards the second half of the class. It wasn't, okay, is he going to mark a 20 or a 22? It was, yep, he's in, nope, he's not, you know? And we were pretty, could tell pretty easily.
During some of those days, we generally mark some of those runs later in the day, just standing next to each other. And a lot of times we'll go, oh, because we're different than they are. But we were pretty, pretty spot on all day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought they did a great job of staying consistent all day. I mean, that's what we all worry about when there's 90 head. What draw were you?
I was 39.
Yeah. I mean, so
it's right in the middle.
Yeah. Well,
before
a little before launch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And always you worry a little bit. Well, so you marked a 22. Were you, after you marked it, how confident were you that it was going to hold through the day?
Yeah, I wasn't very confident.
I wasn't confident either.
No.
I wasn't, because Gabriel Bordas marked a 22 early on. Luca Fapani marked a 22. And I was like, that's great, guys, but it's not good enough.
Yeah.
I think the other part of it, too, is people know what it takes and then they run harder.
Yeah.
You know, as the day goes on, they say sometimes, well, the judging gets, you know, loosened up at the end of it. But a lot of times, too, people just try harder and run harder. So,
yeah.
I think it happened there, too. They were trying harder and then the wheels fell off.
Yeah, it just wasn't working.
Yeah, the horse got tired and couldn't hold the ground. I mean,
yeah,
he had to have something pretty physical that could do it.
Yeah, so. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. But what a good raining. And we got some new guys in the million, which I think is great. I don't have the list in front of me, but Lucas, this is your first time. My Lucas' first time.
Gabriel's
first time. Yep. Maybe just those three.
Yeah, because Gabriel or Dwayne, Jordan McBurney, Casey Hinton,
Sean,
and then Sean Florida, Craig Schmersall. Who else was a 22.5? Francesco.
Yeah, and then so the runoff, Brian Bell, was Brian the last one to mark?
Brian Bell was the last one to mark the 22.
Yeah, so he comes in and marks the 20 now. So it wasn't, yeah, it was Brian that forced everybody to run off.
No.
No, it was.
It was first Dwayne.
Dwayne
kicked the ties.
Yes.
To 11th place.
Correct.
And Craig kicked the ties to 12th place.
No, Craig didn't
because he was already there.
Yeah, oh, okay. Part of it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so Dwayne kicked it.
Dwayne kicked it, yeah.
Yeah, and Dwayne was phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Dwayne's horse was so good. I mean, he went in there and, I mean, just that was as good as I've seen Dwayne show since he won the NRBC on.
Well, we jabbed him here 2 weeks before and told him he needed to run faster. Yeah. And then when he's out there running, we're saying, come on, Grandpa. Come on, Grandpa. Well, Come on, Gramps.
I walked down there about three horses before he showed, and I said, man up a little bit. You got one of the best broke horses here, and man up a little bit and go run at it. I said, that's exactly what I told him. I said, you can make a mistake and still qualify if you're trying hard enough.
Yeah.
But if you don't go hard enough, it doesn't matter if you're perfect, then you're not going to mark enough.
Yeah.
So, and he happened to go hard enough and be perfect. So,
yeah, his horse was great.
Yeah. Yeah, really good. So when how early did you go out, Jared?
To the horse show?
Yeah.
I had to teach the judging school for 4 days, and then I flew out Sunday morning.
Okay.
So the horses went out Thursday.
Yeah. So you were there.
So the horses were there for over a week.
Yep.
Yep. And that, and how did you find for the schooling and all of that? How did you find it?
I thought the schedule was perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they did a great job, you know, giving us enough time in the arena to ride. My deal for me, like, it's hard for me to be riding at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I could get done at 7, 8 o'clock at night and be good, get some sleep, and especially with the time change too. I mean, trying to adjust it all.
Because the first year, the second year, the schedule was pretty tough, and it was tough to get time in the arena.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But the last 2 years have been pretty easy.
Yeah, last year and this year was really easy.
Plus, they had warm-ups in other arenas, random arenas that you go do paid warm-ups in, walk up and do that. So that was helpful, too.
Yep, no question about it. And I thought the ground was good. I mean, I thought all week.
The ground looked beautiful in there.
Yeah. The first
ground
part
level.
Yeah. First couple days, you know, it was maybe a little heavier when we got Monday, Tuesday, somewhere in there. But by the time we showed, I thought the ground was good. I mean, there was horses having a little bit of trouble handling it, but I think there was a lot of factors in that.
I thought it was really good. A lot of times too, when you go to those horse shows, the ground's really slick. Those horses that can't stop very good will still stop. And then sometimes the big stoppers have a harder time getting stopped. Where there, I think the big stoppers showcased what they could do, and the ones that were a little weak, you know, showed up.
Yeah. And I think that's the way reining should be. I think
so too.
I think you should get paid for one that can drag its butt
right up and do
it. And that ground is actually, before this year, was notorious for being fast, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think some people might have showed some horses that were kind of skaters. Also, and then when they came in there and re-leveled the ground at the beginning of the week and added some sand to it, it might have changed people's game plans.
Yeah, and I think people prepare their horses different at home. Everybody tries to get their ground a little bit faster at home now because that's what everywhere we show now the ground's fast. Mm-hmm. And you know, you ride at Brian's, you said that's the ground at Brian's is not fast.
Yeah, we can change it in 2 days over there. I mean, we'll make it slick or we'll dig it up, make it heavy, and just kind of get them used to different stuff where they're not used to the same thing all the time.
Yeah. Well, I overall, I thought it was, again, you know, thanks to Taylor for giving us that avenue. And, you know, the cameras were there all week and shooting and putting on a good show. And, you know, they're going to love having that runoff. For the show, they are going to love having that runoff.
What a great vision Taylor's had for the industry. I mean, who would have thought that it would have taken it this far? And, you know, there's so many new people getting into it that, I mean, it's the reigning culture and all that. I mean, it's changing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's doing a lot of really good things for the industry.
Yeah, no doubt. That and the American and all, you know, I mean, we've talked about it before, and I'm, you know, I feel like our biggest issue right now is having enough people to train horses. You know, there's so many colts getting enrolled, and how many horses do you keep in training?
Right now, about 50.
Yeah, and that's a number you're comfortable with, or just a little bit more than you'd like?
Yeah, I usually keep around 45, so it's a little bit higher, but you know, we keep enough staff to keep it all going. But that's the hard part, is keeping staff and you know, training them up and going to the horse shows, you know, keep enough staff while you're gone.
Yeah. I think without a doubt, the hardest thing for all of us right now, not Joe. Yeah. Joe's kind of his
Joe's
own.
Retired. He sold his place in Hawaii.
I'm done.
He had some gold mining property in California. They sold that. Wasn't it a gold mine that you had in California?
Diamonds, rubies. Yeah.
Semi-retired.
Yeah. You know, Megan got tired of employees.
Megan does all the work anyway.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, Sebastian's looking for a stall cleaner. I just saw that.
Yes. Yeah. So, Everybody's looking.
Everybody's looking. Stupid.
But that's the hardest part for the whole, I mean, for everybody in the industry right now, is trying to find good enough help. And we seem to be, you know, recycling each other's help. I mean, I worked for this guy and that guy and that guy, and I was there for 3 months each, and yeah, well, okay, but we'll try you.
Yes, yeah.
we'll give you a whirl.
Can you fog a mirror?
Yeah, exactly. See,
my customers come in and I hire a new person. They're like, do I need to know their name?
Yeah.
I'm like, you need to learn that one's name. And I'm like, that one? I'm like, probably
yeah.
Not
yeah.
Learn their name.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yep. So. We are the same way around our house.
So if you work for Jared and the customers don't know your name.
Yes, yeah.
That's a red flag.
The writing is on the wall.
Get your shit together. Yeah.
Start packing.
When the clients walk in and call you by name, you know you're doing a good job. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, so, go ahead.
What's your deal with China? Your trip over to China. I hadn't heard that yet.
Yeah, I heard that one.
I know you're going over there checking out your barn that they're making for you.
It was an experience. I mean, I don't know if I'd do it again, but it was weird. Like, it was weird.
So let's start over.
Let's back up.
Sorry.
You got to explain it like you're talking to a little kid, because there's one sitting at this end of the table. Yeah. No, I have a human brain of a small child.
It is. We will vouch for
a human brain of a small child.
Yeah.
So I'm building the facility and kind of designing it myself. And I got on a web or an app called Alibaba, which I was looking for horse stalls. Originally I was going to build like just an arena and like 20 stalls and start like all the 2-year-olds and stuff at the place. And then just kind of, as I got money and stuff, move everything over. And I got on that website and found out all the stalls and started doing price checking. And then for the heck of it, like I was like, what about an arena? I wonder what it would cost over there. And started doing the price and the square footage and stuff. And then found out I could probably do what I wanted to do for the same amount of money, but getting it from over there. So I got hooked up with 2 different companies and designed all the stalls, designed the barns, designed the arena, and get everything laid out, and then purchased it. And then, you know, kind of like did like a post-purchase, you know, okay, now I'm going to spend the money and I'll go check it out. So probably should have done it a little bit different, but went over there and looked at everything. And I wanted to design some of the stalls. You know, the metal building was already getting manufactured, so there really wasn't anything I could do different. I just want to see the quality. You could eat off the floor of the factory. I mean, it was super clean and very organized. And went over there for the stalls and just did different stuff. Like you guys know, I've built other stuff. So I know enough to kind of be a little dangerous on some stuff, but, you know, like change all the gauges of the metal, make it heavier. They use bamboo over there, which is as dense as oak. So looked at all that, figured out what size I wanted, and, you know, designed like corner feeders for the hay. You know, like, because I hate those plastic ones, because then everyone knows I'm OCD, so all the hay gets stuck behind it, and you got to clean it. Oh, you know, so like I designed corner feeders and designed water line covers to go over the water lines above or below the waterers, and designed a round pen, just, you know, designed different stuff.
So what's the process there? So you see it on Alibaba. So first thing, I'm like, Alibaba, I don't know if I'm going there.
Yeah.
So what made you comfortable? Like, what kind of due diligence did you do to make you comfortable doing that?
That company, her name's Helen Wang.
Helen Wang. Interesting.
And she got me hooked up with a shipper from Jacksonville, Florida. So and with a customs broker. So like, there's a lot of paperwork you have to go through. You gotta get, you know, customs broker. You gotta, you know, do a credit app and make sure that, you know, you're good to go. And so and Mary was her name in Jacksonville, and she told me that, you know, she dealt with Helen because a lot of the hunter jumpers use. You know, my stalls, the look is more of a hunter-jumper kind of a barn. And like all the brick pavers, all that stuff, that's, I don't know if that's where they get it, but I'm pretty sure that's where they get it from. So Mary said she was great to work with and stuff like that, so I just thought that was a go. But I had to design, you know, the metal building first before I designed the stalls to make sure how it all, you know, laid out, the layout of it and stuff like that. So then I got her, and then the metal building part, I just kind of like started texting different manufacturers and found what I was comfortable with. And it's sketchy. I mean, it's not like for everybody. I mean, it's.
I don't think I want to do that.
No.
You
know,
it's like.
Yeah, it would be hard for me. Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts to it.
Yeah.
Because you got to pay taxes on it. You got to, I mean, it's not.
Import taxes. There's tariffs on it.
Tariffs on it. There's import tax on it. There's shipping costs if the container falls off the boat.
When it's all said and done, did you save a bunch of money to make it worth it?
Yeah. Yeah, the savings is, and that allowed me to do it the way I want to do it.
So now you're not just doing 20 stalls.
No, we're doing.
And,
and so you just save some money.
So you notoriously had 45 horses in training, but you're building 55 stalls.
Well, maybe like someone come over.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And
Joe's always looking for a place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You saved yourself money, and there's probably a bunch of, 13, 14 year old kids over there in China that got an extra $20 in their pocket. That's nice.
No, he didn't see any child laborists over there.
Oh, yeah. No, there's not.
The Uyghurs. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, did you check out the Uyghurs?
The Uyghurs are in the western part. They're in the western part of China. Yeah. They're locked up in concentration camps, you guys.
It's safe over there. Yeah. I saw three police officers. Like three the whole time. I mean, they... And then we went to the...
You step out of line and you've...
Well, like, so we go to the restaurant and there's like a market. Literally just food market, whatever.
Like, did you see bats there for sale?
Yeah, there's some weird stuff.
Yeah. And I'm like, I said, let's go down there. Like, you want to go down there? I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I want to go down see the alleys. I want to see what it's about.
Were any of those towns called Wuhan by any chance?
So we're walking down there, and they're like, well, you ever try this food? I'm like, I don't know what it is. So we're just trying different stuff. And I was like, well, what do they do at night? Like, do they take all the stuff with them? They're like, oh, no. They just put covers over it. I'm like, so they just put covers over it and just
leave it there.
Nobody touches it.
Oh, yeah. No, they're very disciplined in China.
And the other part I thought was really, there's a couple things that were interesting. They call them the common folk don't have Google on their phone.
Huh?
They don't have access to the internet.
Yeah. Oh, really? Controlled by CCP?
Yeah, you don't, because you don't want to learn the Western ways over there. Because
they have their own little TikTok, right? They have a different
TikTok. TikTok is theirs, but
no, but they have a different TikTok for half of the
country. Okay, our TikTok. Now, let's be clear, though.
Our TikTok
we do not know what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, I think I just heard that.
But our TikTok is theirs. Okay, where they're getting our information.
Yeah, clear. But see, I don't think they have the same TikTok as we do.
Correct. It is all. It is all censored.
Yeah.
So now when you, obviously I'm doing what I'm doing, you look at everything and where it's from. I mean, everything from Amazon is from China.
Yeah.
Just
It's crazy. Oh, Alibaba is the Amazon of China, right?
Well, the Amazon.
It's kind of everywhere,
right? Of the world, yeah.
Because you can get, like, you go on Alibaba, you want to look at saddle pads. You want to look at splint boots, bell boots. I mean, you could put the show on all your bell boots if you want to. It's $100 to, you know. And then I think the bell boots are like $3, $4. I mean, that's where...
the show bell boots.
The show's coming to Alibaba.
Yeah. How long did it take to fly over there?
30 hours total.
Oh, man.
Wow.
One flight was 16 hours.
At any point in the middle of that flight, did you wonder, what in the hell am I doing?
Yeah, it's not worth the money I saved. It's not worth the money I saved.
Yeah, right.
Not in the flight on the way over, but when I got to China and then I had to get on another airplane, that's when I was questioning myself. I'm like, because, I mean, I grew up in the inner city. Like, I mean, white people are a minority in my high school. So, like, I'm used to, like, you go over there. I was the only white person I saw for 4 days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a weird... feel, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't care about
were this. You much taller than everybody?
No, they're pretty tall.
Oh, okay.
But like, it's a weird feeling. And then I go, the other part that was weird was I go check out the stalls, and it was 2.5 hours from the hotel, and they picked me up and brought me there. They're like, oh, we got you an Uber. I'm like, you what? Oh yeah, well, just jump in the Uber and go like 3 hours to go with this.
Were you with somebody?
No, like at that point.
No, my
God. You didn't have a handler or anything.
Jared.
Can't speak
nobody.
The language.
Oh, Jared.
I'm here to see Mary.
This sounds so sketchy. I want to see. I want to see Helen.
I want to see. I came to see Helen. Yeah. Mary from Alabama said it's okay.
Yeah.
Said we're good.
Helen who? After, Wang.
Yeah. After 30 hours. God damn.
We still have audio.
We still have audio.
No. It's the clapper board.
Oh.
Yeah, but that was a little like. Because it's like, I mean, you get in a car accident, sit on the curb and just like hope for the best. I mean, like.
Yeah. No.
I wouldn't do it. I mean, I wouldn't do it again, but I'm glad I did.
I'd be afraid. I'd just be afraid something silly'd happen, and I'd be in a Chinese jail cell for 20 years. Nobody'd care. That
yeah, we'd just be like, where's Tom?
Yeah.
We're shooting now. We're going to shoot the show once again without Tom McCutcheon.
Yeah.
I think he might be in China.
Who cares?
Last time I heard, he was on a flight to China.
Who cares? Yeah.
I mean, the governor's not going to save me. That's like the basketball player, the girl basketball player there. Yeah,
Brittany Griner
in Russia.
Well, they just so happened to trade a bunch of murderers for her. So
They're not trading me for shit.
You're not going to be worth much value or anything.
A couple of fat girls and a mule.
Whoa. You can't be fat shaming.
I'm not fat shaming anybody. Yeah. I'm saying that's all I'm worth.
Yeah.
I mean, not that that's.
Is that like
that sounded bad.
Yeah. It's like a dowry.
Speaking of that, man, he's bringing ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Ice cream, everybody. Let's change the subject.
Two fat girls and a mule.
Nobody's traded me for anything.
You got part of your building here, and I heard you blew up an excavator unloading it.
Yeah, that was a moment. Yeah.
Yeah, because the unloading of it's not the easiest thing, right? You have a small window, right?
Yeah, that was a wreck. So they dropped the excavator off on Saturday.
At your house?
At my house.
Okay.
And we had this 25-year-old mare we had to put down. I was actually going to call you, ask you if I could borrow your skid steer. I'm like, oh, well, there's an excavator, right? It can't be that hard to drive. I mean, I've driven the little ones. I mean, what's... So, I'm like, well, hold this. So I go get on the excavator and jump on it and go drive over and then put the horse down and dig a hole and put the excavator back. And I'm like, oh, I was proud of myself. All right, got the hole. I mean, it's kind of hard to make it look good, but the horse is 8 feet in the ground. We're good.
Yeah.
So then the next day, the guy comes out there to, take the stuff out of the container. And he starts up the excavator, and there's oil, like, everywhere. And, I mean, then my uncle calls me, this guy's pissed. I'm like, what do you mean he's pissed? He's like, this guy is hot. You better call him. I don't even know. He's mad. Shit's going everywhere. Can I say shit?
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. I said fat girls.
And I'm like at the barn riding horses trying to get my stuff done because I know that the trucks are going to be there at 1 because you got to organize 5 trucks at the same time. I have 2 cranes coming at 1 to offload these things, and I was going to use the excavator to pull it out. Well, now we got nothing. So come to find out, while I was driving it, I guess I blew a head gasket on. The guy just rebuilt the motor a month ago, and the head gasket was going to go anyways regardless of whether he was driving or I was driving. Well, I didn't realize I blew it. I didn't realize it was getting hot, so I kept driving it while it was hot. Well, then the motor scorched.
Did you just admit all this on camera?
Yes, Jesus.
You should have denied all of that.
Yeah, denied. It
wasn't me.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oil wasn't there when I was next to it. Holy cow.
So what happens now?
Yeah.
So then I've got a really good dirt guy, Ricky, and Earlison, and he's been great through this whole project, just helped me navigate through different things. So he's the one who helped me with this guy too, and because the guy let me borrow it to bury the horse and stuff, and then Ricky's like I got a dozer, but he's like, I don't know, it's I think it'll pull it out, but he can't really pick anything up with it. I'm like, well, we need to try it, because I got cranes at about $400 an hour plus to each crane, you got the trucks coming. Okay, so we get the dozer over there, and we got it out. Ricky got the first one out, and then so he had to leave, and then we got the other containers coming in and stuff. Well, we're driving it, and then it would just sink in the grounds because it can't pick it up because it's so heavy. And so by the end of it, we put 4x4s under it, pull it out, and we would get it out. But I mean, you're talking. I mean, it's an ass beating trying to get
heavy to pull.
Man.
And then then they would weld stuff in there, so you got to cut everything out and then pull it out. And then the best part of it was one of the trucks had 3 flat tires and showed up 24 hours late.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was at the judging school the next day because I can only do it on a Tuesday. So then Wednesday, that one shows up.
And you had cranes scheduled for that?
For those? That day, so they had to come back. Well, they have a minimum, right? They have a 4-hour minimum. So.
How long did it take it to from the time it left China to get to the U.S.?
5 weeks.
It's fast. And I'm just going to say this, but it is freaking crazy that you can go, that you can ship it, you can put it on a ship and be steaming across the ocean for 5 weeks cheaper than we can build it here. Yeah. That shit's crazy.
Well, it's set. Is what it is.
Yes, 100%.
So the workers over there, I'm trying to remember what they said. I think it was they got paid $40 a day. They provide them housing.
Yeah.
But that $40 a day to them is worth a lot of money in their culture, where they're at in their lives. They're probably very blessed to have that $40 a day.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And they can find an employer like that because I asked them. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that, Gunny.
I understand, but I don't know about that. I'm willing to bet they don't know any other way, and they've been jobless before, where they had a dollar a day jobs.
Yeah. Well, I would like to. I don't know. Shit, we don't know. We don't know what we're talking about. Let's be clear. But yeah, obviously that's the only way they can make that is because nobody gets paid. But I don't know. Seems to me like we're talking about shit that we shouldn't be talking about. But at any rate, seems to me like it's crazy that we can't build something right here and get it done cheaper. And I would do the same. You know, everybody would do the same thing if they could. Could go do it.
True. He showed me the pictures of it.
Yeah.
It's well made. It's beautiful. It's going to be awesome when it's all built.
Yeah, but it's a lot of risk. So, you got, you know, all the concrete done, all the footers done, all the, you got to line up.
Oh, yeah.
Or if one piece breaks.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
That's a huge commitment. Like you said, you paid the money and then went and looked at it.
Yeah. And then when it gets here, if none of the holes line up.
Yeah.
What if they're in standard? What if they're in metric and your guys built it in standard here? You know?
Yeah.
So I'll give you like a for instance, like on a price point. So all the anchor bolts, they're all, everything's metric.
Metric.
So we were going to buy them here. Because I'm like, well, it's cheaper to buy them here than to go over there and get them. So we price checked it, what it would be. We save, it was the shipping on the anchor bolts. Were 2,000 from China, to buy them were 2,500. So you're into it like $4,500 to get them from China. It was 15,000 to get them here, and not even shipping.
Wow.
So it was a $10,000 difference
just on the bolts,
just on anchor bolts.
And they had metric anchor bolts here too.
No, that we had to get standards. We had to go down just to size. But so that's the, you know, like a rolled insulation. So I did rolled insulation on two smaller buildings, and I sheeted the inside of it because I want to do that anyways. But, I mean, the savings on that was... That one I didn't really realize either. I didn't realize it was... I mean, I knew it was in the container, but, like, it just didn't click that it would be, like... I thought it was going to be on a skid, and we just pulled out the insulation, too. No. Yeah, that stuff's not light. I unload about 200 rolls of insulation.
Jeez. Yeah.
I sure am glad you didn't call me, man. That's so nice of you. You didn't call any of us, actually. That's very nice of you.
But it's crazy the price difference of it. I mean, and then you go, too, I mean, there's, you know, like a lot of people, too, like they'll do drop shipping stuff, and they never even touch material, and they just drop ship it, and just they're the broker. I mean, that's how a lot of people just make a living, too. That's more or less what Amazon's doing. Amazon's just a drop ship.
Yeah. No, that's
wild.
You want to talk about living stalls or portable stalls or doing any of that? I mean, you get the connections. And the other part of it too, like after doing this, I don't think I ever will. But like if down the road I found an investor and said, hey, let's go buy a chunk of land, let's go build a facility, let's go build a 30 stall barn, we'll go partners on and do something like that. Like if it's my own stuff and I mess it up, it's on me. But like if I want to go do that down the road, I felt like I need to go there and like go touch it and build those relationships with those people. You know, if it's my money and I mess it up, it's on me. But like, I wouldn't want to do it with somebody else, and that's part of why I went down there too. Because if I ever do something like that down the road with somebody else, I mean, I want to know what I'm getting myself into more. So,
yeah, that's more ambition than I have. That's more risk than I'm willing to take. I would just be. I like having somebody held accountable other than me because I'm not very accountable. So I would like a builder here to come in and say, okay, you build it, you do the whole thing. That's pretty, but you've built a lot of stuff. So I can see where you're comfortable with that part of it, with the designing and everything, but just not knowing them or not, you know, I mean, that's pretty risky.
Well, ordering off of Alibaba.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, that's a trip. So that's interesting.
Your building's all here now? When does this
start? Smaller buildings are here.
Okay. When is it going to all be done? You have a guesstimate?
I'm hoping by the end of the summer is my goal.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So pretty quickly.
I hope so.
Cool.
And Scooter Nolan's going to be the one putting it up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. No, we've known Scooter forever. Yeah. I can tell you some stories about Scooter Nolan. He used to come play basketball with us.
I was gonna interrupt him and say he's gonna tell the basketball story.
Yeah. He used to come play basketball with us, and it was always great because we played in a basketball league in Whitesboro, Texas. And usually towards the end of the season, the cops had to come and stand there to get through a game. It was some rough basketball. I mean, it was some rough. They came from Sherman and Denison, and it was a pretty good league. And boy, when Scooter showed up, we felt a lot better about ourselves because you don't want to fuck with Scooter Nolan.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were real, really happy to have Scooter there because he's one of those boys that you just go, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Corn fed.
Yeah. Feel good about Scooter being on your team in a rough situation.
Well, I mean, just with a name like Scooter, you know he's good to have on your team.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good stuff.
Did you see any horses over there?
No.
No horses. Just all manufacturing stuff.
Yeah, where I went was just all industrial.
You doing any sightseeing?
They took me the last day. We went down to a park and stuff. And I mean, they were super nice. My husband was spending money with them. They're going to be nice to you.
You only see what they want you to see.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Did they pay for the hotel and all that? The flight?
They paid for the hotel and the flight. Yep. Wow.
In case anybody, any of the Chinese government's watching this,
we don't know what we're talking about.
We don't know what. I'm sure they get minimum wage and beautiful place to live. And
you know, they all drove Audis.
No shit! I was gonna say how many Toyotas did you drive?
Again, this brand new
Everybody named Helen.
They were driving Audis.
Yeah,
not really. And they were made in China.
Not Jingsu.
Yeah, but made in China.
Toyotas are most Japanese. Cars are Japanese, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like they're not Chinese. Yeah. I mean, they're just not in the car manufacturing business.
The Audis are made there. That's different.
I mean, their Audis were on
I don't know. We'll have to do a little research about that.
Also tried donkey for the first time.
And?
The delicacy over there.
Huh.
So I told my wife, I said, times get rough. Old Petunia.
Oh, yeah. Poor Petunia.
Jeez.
So, take away the donkey, just two fat girls.
Yeah, jeez. Man.
I think I've probably been on the chopping block before that
donkey. Yeah, right? No, you can't. Petunia. Yeah, that's right. You guys have a whole assortment of animals over there. Yes. Carla's got the full menagerie, right?
We
got
to get some more chickens. So that's.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't just have your regular chicken. She's got some cool looking ones with headdresses and stuff.
Like them Puerto Rican chickens.
Yeah.
Them chickens with that Puerto Rican hair.
I mean, they got the stuff on their feet and everything, right?
We lost one of our Great Pyrenees that would keep all the coyotes away and stuff, and so we've lost some more chickens, so we got two more dogs on order. So we're going to get those in a couple months and then some more chickens. But
Gunny, did you ever work out a deal with
Gina's chicken?
No. Getting their big black.
No,
you
but
know,
she had a big black chicken that she wanted rid of because it made too much noise in the morning, I guess.
A rooster? It was a rooster, probably.
Yeah, but it was black. It was one of them all black ones. Huh. And I just thought it was odd that she was trying to get rid of her
big black rooster.
Yeah.
Who's this? Gina?
Yeah. Gina Schumacher.
Oh.
You know... You really don't know what we're talking. He has no idea.
Yeah, he has no idea what we're talking about. Yeah,
and that's fine.
What's another that's name for a rooster?
Yeah. I don't know. Chicken?
No, it rhymes with rock.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sock?
Whatever.
The blank fighting. Blank fighting.
Yeah. They were sock fighters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weren't we talking about the road for the million?
Anyhow.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're 30 minutes into it. Maybe we could bring up the horse and
how he did
and his run. And
we forgot about that.
Let's
talk about it.
Yeah, let's go back to that. Tell us about the horse you showed.
So her name is Making Diamonds, owned by Paul and Dorothy Queen. It's an 8-year-old mare that Abby Lingale started, won some money on her, made multiple finals on her, and then we
made the finals of the fraternity on her, and then had to sell her or something.
Yeah, I think it was just time to move on and sell her. And so we bought her, and I showed her for the first year, won a bunch of stuff on her. Paul showed her last year, won a bunch of stuff on her. I don't even need to figure out how many bronzes that mare's won. I bet she's probably won 20 or 30 bronzes. She's won 240,000 now.
You guys bought her with 50 or 70,000 in earnings? And now she's won $240,000. And she showed as pure as any horse ever could.
Yeah, like, I mean, and
she showed great. Showman.
With no Sativet either, because it's not legal there. I mean, she showed as pure gets. That's pretty golden minded.
Especially after like last year. I mean, Paul did a great job showing her, but you always question. You're like, okay, what's it going to be like after the Alamo? I mean, she was perfect. I showed her twice, once at Ardmore, just as, you know, show school in a sense, and then showed her in Florida, and then showed her there. Yeah. Had a penalty in my first turn.
Yeah.
Or else I would have.
Yeah.
Not had to been in the runoff.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't even think about it until after you got in a runoff, but that mare was kind of notorious for being easy to run out of air. So you were out of horse, I bet. You were worried about a runoff, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, that was the worst thing for that mare. That mare tries so hard. She's so gritty. I mean, she was done.
Yeah.
I mean, she still did it and tried and stuff.
Yeah.
I felt so bad.
So the first one to go in the runoff was
Luca.
Luca.
The
22. Yep.
And
Luca was a 2.5. Yep. And Luca was good. Yep. Luca was good. Yep. Very good. Solid. And Gabriel was also good.
Yep. Go in the runoff and go minus half, penalty half.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yep. Just bogged down.
Yep.
Right off the bat, we all quit watching her. Oh, Jared's out. Jared screwed it up. He's out.
But
good comeback, though.
But she was good. What'd you end up marking?
Marked a 19.
Yep, that's right.
And then that's why I said after you got done going, I said you didn't, it's not the way you wanted to happen, but congratulations. You don't want to see your buddy Brian be the odd man out, but he ended up having penalties and mistakes. But Brian's horse, that was the first and second time that horse had been showed, the one he almost qualified on.
Yeah, but the odds are of the four, one of them is going to have a bobble. I mean, no matter what four horses are, somebody's going to have a bobble. And Brian, just everything fell apart in that run.
Yeah.
So in the second run, he just had a lot of things go to shit. But if that would have happened to you, and you'd have marked it 209, and all Brian had to do is survive. You marked a high enough score at a 219 that he had to go be good, because a 19, they weren't giving away 19s.
No. And the other part, too, so Gloria was there helping me the whole time, and she showed there and stuff, too, the girl that worked for me. And I had her go watch the runs. I said, watch for major penalties. If there's a major penalty, let me know. Because they might go, and then they're going to review it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to know how hard I have to go. Because, like, for this mare, I'm like, I know I'm not a horse, but I want to just try to be clean. And if I knew they spun five times, or they kicked out, or they broke eight, or, you know, then I could gauge how I was going to show her. But those two guys had solid runs, and I was like, okay, I got to kind of go beat them.
And you did. I mean, aside from your first turn, that mare circled great. She stopped. She tried her butt off, even on the stop that nobody got stopped on. She stopped hard. I mean, she stopped real hard. The rest of your run was very good.
Did they talk about – so what if – Brian would have marked a 19. Did they talk about that?
And I thought about that too. I mean, what do you at that point?
Like, yeah.
We have a foot race or arm race. I'm not going to fight Brian. I mean,
no.
Don't fight. Don't fight Brian Bell. Do not fight Brian Bell.
I don't know that there's anything in place for that. So yeah, that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. And I've often wondered this. Where in the rules of NRHA, it must say it somewhere, that that horse show is allowed to break a tie with the judges for not a winning trophy?
So it was in the conditions for that horse show.
Gotcha.
And because I'd read that in the conditions before that they had to run off.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I, you know what? The runoff is good for TV, and I know not everybody agrees with me. We've talked about it before, but you know, there's, you know, sometimes when we talk about animal welfare and what's best for the horses and what's, you know, with a lot of the rules that we have, the medication rules and all of this, and you know, when we come up to animal welfare, I'm not sure that it's the best thing for those horses after a long week there to run again. I don't, me personally, if my horse goes out there and gives their guts and marks that kind of score, I'd rather go wash them off and put them in the stall, and because they did everything I asked them to do.
Well, he felt the same way. He had help in the stands watching, going, can I lope through this or do I have to push this thing?
That's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying more that.
But he was conscious of it.
And she was in the spa right after.
Yeah. I'm saying that I'm not necessarily like, if they had one more horse at the Run for a Million, I know they're clear all the time that that's not what they want to do. They want to have a runoff. And I think the runoff is good for TV and good for that. But when we talk about animal welfare, is it the best thing for the horse in that situation?
I think with anything, with the industry is constantly evolving. We need to evolve with it. I mean, if you look at how tough the competition is now and how much we have to use our horses up just to make a finals or just to go try to win a major event and then to go ask that horse to do that again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it was 10 years ago. I mean, if you can kind of cruise or whatever, I mean, it's a different, you got to use up all your horse to.
Yeah. And I think we saw in the round. I think in the first round, I think we saw a lot of fatigued horses and horses struggling to stop. And you know, whatever, that's a great facility out there, but you can't get around the fact that, you know, the ground is hard. I mean, it's everywhere you walk outside of a sand arena, you're walking on concrete basically, and it is just a hard place to get one through a whole week and have them be 100%. And you know, that's the only thing for me is, and I'm not knocking, the most important thing for Taylor is his deal is the television program. Sure. And that's what they need, and that's good for the television program. I'm not knocking their decision.
I like it better than them having the cluster that they had a couple years ago where they're changing scores at the very end, and they let the people in for sympathetic reasons, though, too, for no reason at all.
But that didn't happen. Oh,
somebody didn't qualify, and they got to show.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes. So, yes. Yeah.
I think
at least it's fair now.
Yeah.
He's in it because he earned it. His horse is in it because she earned it.
Yeah. So, but my question, so if Jared, for some reason, couldn't show, would they invite Brian in, though? If anybody in the top 10, Brian's the next guy.
I think they should.
I mean, they have a precedence for that now. So if any of the top 10 guys can't make it, does Brian get in? I don't know.
And why would it be him and not the sixth place horse from Vegas, too? I mean, was that not the precedent? Did they let a sixth person in from Vegas with a tie before, or was that always ran off there?
Well, no, they let the tie go in Vegas because it didn't specifically say in the terms and conditions
that they had
that they would be a runoff.
Yeah,
and they didn't find it until after they ran off.
Yeah,
they ran off and then left them both in, right?
Yeah. Yes.
My memory is not perfect, but I think that's what happened. They ran off.
That
and
is
then
what
went
happened
both in.
Between. Mm-hmm. Francesco and Jordan.
Jordan.
McBurney?
Yeah.
I don't know. At least this year.
I think you almost have to have a runoff.
Yeah. At least this year, who's in is in, and they earned it.
Yeah. So you guys like the runoff.
I think you almost have to in that setting if you want that number. Because the other part of it, too, if you have two, say if we all tied for 10th,
And there was, they'd go to 15. Horses, right? Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the part where it gets too deep.
Yeah, because what are you going to do? How are you going to break a tie?
Extra, like, no big deal. You like
five, 15 horses at the run for the million is enough. There's supposed to be 15 showing?
16.
That'll be 16 now.
There's one from Europe.
Okay. Which, it's enough.
Yeah, which people, I think Brian's going over there to go qualify, too. I mean, he's going to go over there and show at the 100X. And then there's a qualifier at the 100X?
In Paris? I thought.
I don't think so. They already qualified.
I thought that Dominic.
They already had
Dominic
their qualifier.
Reminder.
Yeah.
Was the qualifier from there?
Yeah, they already had their qualifier. Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. So, and I mean, there's the old school guys that are like, by God, run them again.
Well, I mean, look at the fraternity.
Yeah.
I mean, but how exciting was that?
That was very exciting.
I mean, how much did that do for our industry just to get people excited about it?
That was very exciting, but that is the Futurity, and those horses can rest. A lot of those four-year-olds, Brian's, for example, not showing again until the 100X. You know, in this situation, those horses hauled out there, had a tough week. A lot of those horses, yours is not because it's eight, but
some of them are going.
Gabriel's
to the NRBC,
is probably going to the NRBC. A lot of those horses are going to go in 3 weeks. They're going to be at the NRBC, and I'm not. It's not a hill I'm going to die on. I'm just saying. For me personally, I think that's a lot to ask of our livestock, and it's not. It's not like it used to be. Where I mean, these horses are worth a lot of money anymore to play to a horse that can play at that level. I mean, I bet you couldn't buy your horse for $300,000.
I mean, that was the only mare that was in the top 10 there.
Yeah.
I mean, so what's that worth? I mean, a mare that can do.
Well, she's won $250,000.
Yeah.
I bet $250,000 or $300,000 doesn't buy her.
Yeah.
What about, right? I mean, what about having, I've heard a lot of talk actually about, why is it just one qualifier for 10 horses? And, you know, the other one in Vegas, what about having a regional qualifiers for five guys east, five central, five west? Or, you know, they're doing a European qualifier now, but you guys have any thought on that? You know, they take 10 from the one horse show.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I don't mind. I mean,
I don't mind one shot.
Yeah.
Look at poor Matt. I mean, geez, coming all the way from there and then breaking his ankle there that night.
But that, to Gunny's point, that's hard for anybody from the East Coast.
Matt had to drive 3 days to go break his 40, foot. Not 40 to
hours?
Was yeah,
45 hours.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's hard on him. I mean,
yeah, I know for the NRBC when we moved out of Katy, we looked at a lot of different options. And we always felt it had to be central.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Like it had to be so everybody could access it. So I think it is a legitimate point. I mean, it is hard for the East Coasters. I think if it was in Oklahoma, I think we'd gain probably, because we know there's four or five or six guys from the East that are capable of having that kind of run. Sure. But it's... It takes a lot. I mean, it costs a lot and takes a lot to get out there. But that said, it's for the run for a million. You find a way to get there. I mean, I know that when we had the first World Equestrian Games qualifier in New Jersey, we went. I mean, it's a long ass ways out there, but it's what we do. So we went. We got there. Craig Schmersal was on. He qualified for the first team that I was on. And they came from California, so
to New Jersey.
To New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't go much further than that.
You can't,
actually. You know. Yeah. So
you physically actually,
yeah.
Can't.
I mean,
you from China,
yeah.
You could get on a boat for 5 weeks,
yeah.
But I heard horses don't do well on boats.
No,
you got like 20% death loss.
Yeah,
20. Yeah, horses don't do well on boats.
Yeah,
but
Brian was sending me stuff on like all the ship containers that fall off boats.
Oh yeah,
I was like, oh yeah, here's all my anxiety.
Yeah, I wonder if yours was on the top of the stack.
It's like 1,200 a month or 1,200
a year.
A year.
there's like billions getting shipped over. It's like 0.0012% that it would fall off the boat. So I'm like, I think I'll take.
Yeah, right. I mean that's pretty good odds. Pretty good odds. But anyway, what were we talking about?
He's qualified. So you're qualified. Yeah. You're relieved. Your mare gets to be on a stage that she very much deserves.
Do you feel like that's who you'll show at the million? Yeah.
So how excited was Dorothy?
She's a special lady for sure. Her and Paul, just great people, great friends, customers.
And been in it for a long time.
Were they out there?
They were not. Dorothy just had knee surgery.
Okay.
So I told her today, you know, we took her to the vet just to get her all checked out. And I told her, I was like, Dorothy, you're going to have to leg her up for me for a couple months. Cool. She showed her before, too. Dorothy has. Showed her at the Southwest.
Oh, cool.
She actually showed her the next time in the show pen was her after I marked a 230 on the mare in Florida. She showed her at the Southwest and marked a 70 or 71 on her.
So you're going to let her show her anymore between now and then?
I'll have to think about that.
Well, don't treat her any different. She got you here by you guys doing what you're doing, don't treat her any different.
Yeah, it's a special horse.
Yeah, showed so pure.
Cool. Did you get to watch much of the raining after you showed? Or
no, my wife won't let me.
Were you just too uptight? Or
no, she's like, if you watch, you're going to get beat. So she's like, quit watching, quit.
So what'd you do?
Went to lunch.
Long lunch.
I went to an Italian place. Huh. Had some gelato. Yeah, it was pretty good.
No tacos anywhere.
No tacos.
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm the same way. If I have a big score, I don't stand there and watch because I don't want to be. I don't want to just sit there and wish bad on everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm going to.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
If I'm standing there and I got the lead, I mean, I'm not gonna hope somebody beats me.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that first year when Cade was winning the run for a million. They had him on TV, and it was on the show about somebody screwed up, and Gunny was standing next to him. And Cade was like, and somebody actually texted Mandy, this was after the show aired, that, you know, man, that wasn't good that Cade was wishing bad on somebody. It's like, oh, really? So if you're down two in a basketball game and a guy's coming down to shoot a three, you're like, good luck, you know? No.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
No, I don't stick around either.
Yeah, no, it's tough to watch.
Yeah.
It was fun for me to sit there and watch all of them with no skin in the game. It was really fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed watching Dwayne go kick butt.
Well, especially after he told us here that if he didn't qualify this time, he wasn't going to try anymore.
Yeah, he's done. I saw that. He's taking two horses. And didn't make it. He was too old, and you guys were giving him a rush.
He's too old. Yeah, I'm too old.
He goes out there, and I mean, yeah, dude. Everybody.
Yeah,
makes
and
a statement.
It wasn't even like it was like close.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. He closed the door.
Awesome.
Yeah, badass.
Old guys rule.
He'll be back on the show. We should have him on the show before we go to the NRBC again.
I think you should play what he said before.
Yeah.
Be like, all right, watch this.
We'd like you to watch this clip and then watch your run. Please.
No, it was one of those. I mean, he went half, and then to me, you could just maybe half his first circles because I think he was still being just a freckle cautious, like, okay, I got turned, okay. And then after he got through those first circles, and he was like, oh, wait a minute, this is working really good. And
the left circles were for certainly a one. And
at least.
Yeah.
At least.
His two. All three stops were
ones.
Yeah.
As everybody was, and I remember all you guys were standing there talking about the ground. I'm going, hey, I don't think the ground's that bad. And then Dwayne just runs down there and goes, bam, bam, bam. And rolled back. Cannot roll back any better. Yeah. I mean, it was just easy. No, he was great.
I hear a little rustling going on.
Yeah, it sounds like ice cream.
Like ice cream's here.
I think so.
Have we ever ended a show early?
No.
Well, she didn't start that till late. Didn't start the clock till late.
Oh, so
it was
might
like
be
6 minutes
time.
In or something.
Oh, so we might be on time.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm excited about the ice cream. You said it's like some of the best you've ever had. So.
Well, we're excited for Jared. Watch him at the run for the million too on old Dorothy.
I'm kind of more excited about chocolate chip ice cream at the moment.
Yeah.
We've been talking to Jared for 58 minutes. So
no, Joe's not a great friend. Joe's, I can Joe's tell you
if chocolate chip ice cream's involved.
Hey, at least we know where we stand.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Chocolate chip ice cream.
See yeah. Ya. Yeah, no. Yeah.
What about the TV cameras? Were they harassing you at all?
No, actually, Daniel came up to me. I was over at the stalls getting ready. He's like, "Hey, the camera crew is looking for you. What do you want to tell him?" I'm like, "I don't know. Tell him." He's like, "Do you want to talk to him?" I'm like, "No, I really don't." Yeah, because you're trying to get focused and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'll just tell him something."
What about for the runoff? Did they come harass you?
So I'm walking over to go get on her, go get ready, and get her ready, and they were like, "Can we have one question?" I'm like, "Sure." And it's important. You know what I mean?
But yeah. What was the question they asked?
I don't remember. Like about the runoff and about you, you know, trying to like.
Did you give him some stupid bullshit get away from me answer? Or?
No, it was pretty good. Oh.
He just shoved the camera around.
Like 6 questions, and it's part of the deal. You know?
Yeah.
We just have to get used to it.
That's what everybody has. That's the only reason we're there.
Yeah.
So that's what people have to just kind of deal with it.
I think we should get Dwayne back on the show for certain then and tell him he has to deal with this because he's bad at it too. Dwayne, people need access to you, okay?
You have a way to get good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep doing it.
If people ask you questions, you have to say more than okay.
Yeah. What are you thinking now, Dwayne? What about now?
It's okay.
What about now?
It was
Dwayne,
okay.
What are you thinking?
My run was okay.
Yeah.
What about now?
What about the ice cream?
No, he would say.
That's right.
No, Dwayne would say, that's pretty good. Well, what would you like the best? Stops.
I like the stops.
Yeah, I like the stops.
Stops were good.
No, it was good. And let's not forget, what was he riding? Anybody remember?
Doing a special night.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we have our own like song to it now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, Dwayne Latimer, Gunner Special Night. So, but you could argue, I thought that run was very similar to when he won the NRBC on Modern Gun. Very similar. Like, went out there and turned like half.
Yeah, probably could just run faster at the NRBC on Modern Gun. That would probably be the only difference.
But it was very similar runs as far as just, he went out there and just went for it and everything worked. And that was also a Gunner Special Night.
I mean, not to knock anybody, but I actually think Tom could have qualified on that horse at Dwayne showed.
I don't know. That's a lot to ask.
Sorry, I couldn't. I had to get a little jab in there.
That's a lot to ask.
Ah, come on. You were close.
I was close, but, you know, it really doesn't make any difference. You're either in or you're out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got home and somebody said, "Well, how was it out there?" Sucked. It sucked. Well, you were a 20 and a 19. Yeah, but I wasn't in. So that's a 20 and a 19 out there is the same as a 210 and a 207.
Well, Jared will at least be a good part of the show whenever they come to his place because he'll be building a place. He's got a lot of drama going on.
Yeah. Huh?
Oh, I'm building this place. Oh, it's so hard on me mentally.
Did you have to wear a mask when you went to China? I don't know why I thought I had to ask that.
A lot of people do.
Because when you go...
I took ivermectin every day. I was over there.
You did?
Seriously?
Yeah.
And it was legal?
Oh.
Legal. It's always legal.
Get caught or get arrested. I'm like, I took the label off of this.
That's even worse.
Probably.
I don't
get sick at all. Either.
Yeah.
Did you go through a town called Wuhan?
You already asked that.
He didn't answer it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not that I remember.
So you took the ivermectin. That's good. I mean, that's smart. Good thinking.
30-hour trip.
You're a white.
Know.
You're a right wing extremist. Sorry, I couldn't help.
Well, I mean, when you go to the casino, it seems like a lot of the Asians wear a mask everywhere. So I just didn't know if you had to wear a mask.
I bet there was people with masks though.
Not a lot.
No, really.
Not like here. Maybe you see one or two.
Well, I think we've skirted around that about as close as we can. So
we didn't skirt around some of it. Grow anyway. The show.
Yeah. All right. Well,
very good.
Jared, thanks for coming. Yeah. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
Grow the show.
Grow the show.
Thanks, everybody.